Good evening. Before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're reading from the Sparkly Book, it is page 481, the next to the last paragraph. If you're reading from the second edition, it's page 428, paragraph 9. In the first edition, it is page 399, the first full paragraph. In the JCIM, it is page 201, the fifth paragraph. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it is page 404, the last line. Okay, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening, and welcome to everyone who is joining us on the internet. We have spent a lot of time talking about the obstacles to peace, moving past each one of the four, the last of which was the fear of God. Now, I want to make it clear that whenever you practice the holy instant, whenever you engage in the two-step, and in the silence, hear the voice for truth. Hear the Holy Spirit. Reveal the truth to you that causes an aha to occur, a realization, a shift of perception. You have overcome the last obstacle, the fear of God. You may not be able to stay in that state of fearlessness consistently, or even for very long. But it does not change the fact that you have experienced communion. You have experienced the presence of God in you. Now, I've mentioned before that when you got a divorce from the father, something unexpected happened. When you said, I'd rather do it my way, I'd rather see it my way, when you and a brother together decided to abandon the father's perspective, something unexpected happened. You were suddenly confronted with something you had never experienced before: fear and guilt. These are not elements of omnipotence. These are not the elements of invulnerability, which are your birthright and which had been your experience up until the moment you decided to abandon the father's perspective. But when you did, suddenly you were confronted with what you didn't expect. Now, when you overcome the fourth obstacle to peace, the fear of God. You find yourself infilled with the truth about you. You find yourself infilled with the experience of love, the experience of being loved infinitely, profoundly, so completely that it causes a realization in you that you are the Holy Son or the Holy Daughter of God, that you are absolutely divine, that you are a Christed one just as I am. And, as I have said, simultaneous with that experience and realization, you find yourself knowing that this very same thing is true about your brother and sister. And that is a profound shift of perception, a miracle. And it causes you, in that clarity, to behave in a brand new way with your brothers and sisters, in a way that asserts and affirms their divinity, their holiness. Now, we learned the last time we were together that this is a profound gift, that it is the means of your coming back home, but not just you. It is the gift that brings both you and your brother back home. And that's the only way you can come back home. But it is the most powerful gift, the most profound gift that the Father can give. Why? Because it works. And because it is the only thing that works. To be able to look into your brother's eyes and remember God, instead of all the lousy things he or your sister did to you, how difficult they made it for you, how cruel they were, how much suffering it caused you. And so, you're met with a surprise. You're met with the experience of your holiness and this profound awareness of the holiness of your brothers and sisters because of their immaculate relationship with God, which is the only thing true about them, just as it is the only true thing about you. And now, you have a spontaneous inclination to treat them as the holy ones that they are. But the surprise is, the answer to the question, are you willing to extend it? Or are you going to hold on to a grievance? Well, I'm not going to acknowledge who they really are and let them off the hook when they haven't paid for the inconvenience and the hurt that they've caused. That's the surprise. And it's a conflict. Because in the realization of the truth about them, you intend from a bottomless place to love them and treat them on the basis of who and what you now know they are, with profound love and respect. And so, you bring into play within yourself a merciless conflict, a truly rugged conflict, that hurts you and delays your brother's awakening, your brother's freedom. I'm going to start a few sentences back from where I said we would start tonight, where it says the song of Easter is the glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. That's the realization. The Son of God was never crucified. The Son of God was never less than the Son of God. You have never been the pissant mortal you thought you were, and neither has your brother or sister. That's the realization of Easter. Part of the realization of Easter is embodied in the words from the Bible, if I be lifted up, I draw all men nigh unto me. Now likewise, if you be lifted up, you draw all men unto you. It is a natural and spontaneous action that occurs, and it's out of your control. So, the song of Easter is the glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions. All of them have been wiped away. In your direct experience of being profoundly loved by the Father so completely that you clearly know you are divine. And so is your mean-spirited brother and your bitchy sister. They aren't who they think they are, and they aren't who you thought they were. But you, in your tiny little emotional ego, feel hurt. Now, your puny little ego is not the place in which you've experienced the Father's love. It's an imaginary concept you have about yourself that you have energized and valued, and which this realization of your holiness undoes, undermines, invalidates. It's your habit. You're committed to being pissed off at your sister or brother for what they've done, in spite of the fact that your realization has uncovered to you that they never actually did it, and you were never hurt by it because you're not who you thought you were, and they're not who you thought they were. And there's a requirement of a shift. Let me put it this way. In the experience of God's love, the shift occurs. But you know what? You must come along and validate the shift. You must confirm the shift by changing your mind. And I mean by that, by abandoning, letting go of what doesn't fit and what isn't true, which you now know isn't true. Let us lift up our eyes together, see, no longer at odds, no longer sitting in righteous judgment, superior you and inferior them, superior you, who of course never, ever treated them badly, thought of them badly, even though right now in your self-righteousness you are claiming that they are inferior and unworthy of your extending what is pressuring itself in you to come out of you that acknowledges that they are not what you thought they were, and that they are indeed utterly, holy, loved sons and daughters of God, just like you. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness, and where we live in gentleness and peace, as one together. Now, if I hadn't shared with you what I've just shared with you, this next sentence might have been quickly brushed by. Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? On the pathway to the open door of heaven? Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? Well, you are likely to conveniently define the meaning of that as, would you not have me lead you there? The Holy One that you do believe I am. But that's not what it's meaning. Would you not have your holy brother or sister that's right there with you where you are lead you there? Well, it just depends if I can get past my righteous anger and distress and my great need for justice. So, in order to have your holy brother lead you there, you're likely to find yourself having to do something you don't want to do, something that requires you to make a really fundamental, basic change in you by your conscious choice. And you're likely to call that work. And you had hoped that awakening would be a lovely, easy breeze, because it's a spiritual thing that's happening. That obviously is going to be natural to you. Well, yes, it's utterly natural to you, and it's going to impel itself out into action. But if you're going to say, no, that person is not worthy of that kind of love and respect yet, then the gift will not be made, and you provide yourself with a crown of thorns and not lilies that provide the entry into the kingdom of heaven, the conscious experience of reality. Important. Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? Well, now you know that you might not, or at least there might be a few that you will not. But you know what? I'm going to promise you that those are the ones who will come into your experience and remain there because they are uncovering your unwillingness to wake up yourself. Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? His innocence? Yeah, right. His innocence, you say. Yes, his innocence, as the holy son or daughter of God that he or she is, will light your way, offering you its guiding light and sure protection, and shining from the holy altar within him where you laid, if you did, the lilies of forgiveness. Why will his innocence light your way? Why will it offer you its guiding light and sure protection? It's not so much because of what your brother or sister will be or do, as it is the degree of honesty and consistency and straightness that you bring to your consideration of your brother or sister. You are going to have to be willing to extend the full message in its full import that was revealed to you when you engaged in the holy instant and were willing to look into your brother's eyes, even for a moment, and remember God. You see, I could say it's the precision of the truthfulness of your commitment that causes your brother's innocence to light your way. Because there will be no light and there will be no way if you aren't doing it together. It will offer you its guiding light and sure protection. And the protection part of it has to do with the fact that you are not wavering in your willingness to share the good news of your holiness and your brother's or sister's holiness to your brother and sister, so that it might be shared as a common experience, a communion experience. You see? His innocence, the innocence that's really there behind his imperfect sense of himself and behind your imperfect sense of him, will light your way, offering you its guiding light and sure protection and shining from the holy altar within him where you laid the lilies of forgiveness. In other words, where you really laid the lilies of forgiveness and didn't keep an ace up your sleeve for a little vengeance down the road, if necessary, because he doesn't really deserve the full gift. Let him be to you the capital S Savior from illusions. Ordinarily, that word, capitalized, refers only to me. But this is referring to your brother or sister, because they perform the same function I do when you are willing to acknowledge without reservation their divinity that has been revealed to you as an experience of yours. Let him be to you the Savior from illusions, and look on him with the new vision that looks upon the lilies and brings you joy. Your clear, honest, committed willingness to acknowledge your brother's or sister's divinity brings you joy. And the joy won't be there until you do it. We go beyond the veil of fear, lighting each other's way. You see, the holiness that leads us is within us, as is our home. So will we find what we were meant to find by Him who leads us. And again, we have capital H, Him, capital W, who leads us. And that one who leads us is our brother and our sister, whose divinity we have dared to look at without reservation and without qualification and embrace. This is the way to heaven and to the peace of Easter, in which we join in glad awareness that the Son of God is risen from the past and has awakened to the present. You and your brothers and sisters, with whom you are sharing this awareness of holiness, have risen from the previous ignorance. Now is he, your brother, or she, your sister, free, unlimited in his communion with all that is within him. Now are the lilies of his innocence untouched by guilt and perfectly protected from the cold chill of fear and withering blight of sin alike. Your gift, listen to this, your gift has saved him from the thorns and nails, and his strong arm is free to guide you safely through them and beyond. It's no private job, it's no private endeavor, it's no private accomplishment. You have to do it together. If you're not doing it together, you are avoiding love. And love is the passkey, so to speak, back into the kingdom of heaven, the conscious experience of what everything really is. Your gift has saved him from the thorns and nails, and his strong arm is free to guide you safely through them. This one that you thought was the bastard or the bitch. Their arms are free to guide you. Are you ready to let yourself be guided by your brother or sister? Because you are insisting upon seeing nothing less than their divinity, so that your mind is single of purpose and not conflicted? That's the surprising question that you find yourself confronted with. Walk with him now, rejoicing. How stubborn are you? How long are you going to hold on to the grievance before you will walk with him now, rejoicing? And, you know, don't fool yourself and say, well, he is causing my distress. No. You are refusing to pay attention to the realization that came forth as a result of your engaging in the holy instant and experiencing the love of God. And you are deciding that this one is not worthy, and therefore you are going to withhold this clear experience of him that you do have. Walk with him now, rejoicing. For the Savior from illusions has come to greet you and lead you home with him. I know this isn't necessarily good news, because grievances are mesmeric. Grievances get a hold of you and cause you to become obligated to them. Do or die. Nothing less than justice will be allowed. And you certainly are not going to let your brother off or your sister off scot-free. But you're going to have to. And whatever work, whatever effort it takes, you are going to have to engage in. You are going to have to argue with the voice for fear in you that tells you not to trust your brother, not to engage in whatever it takes to express the love that heals and transforms where correction is needed, not just in you, but in your brother or sister as well. Here is your Savior with a capital S and your friend with a capital F, released from crucifixion through your vision and free to lead you now where he would be. You both join in leading each other to where you want to be, which is in the unequivocal experience of God's love that demonstrates to you without a shadow of a doubt your holiness, your innocence, and the fact that you were never other than the beloved son or daughter of God. Here is your Savior and your friend, released from crucifixion through your vision and free to lead you now where he would be. He will not leave you, nor forsake the Savior from his pain, and gladly will you walk the way of innocence together, singing as you behold the open door of heaven and recognize the home that called to you. Here's the call. Here's what's called for in this last step. Part B of the fourth obstacle to peace. Give joyously to one another the freedom and the strength to lead you there. And come before each other's holy altar, where the strength and freedom wait to offer and receive the bright awareness that leads you home. What is now on your altar, now that you've overcome the fourth obstacle to peace? It's the awareness, I am the Holy Son of God. I am the Holy Daughter of God. And there's nothing else on your altar. It's pure simplicity that reveals the infinite, immaculate fullness of divine being, of creation. The lamp is lit in both of you for one another. Not for you and you alone. The lamp is lit in both of you for one another. That means that you and your brother, you and your sister, are worth every bit of devoted attention you can give to see, to find, and to confirm each other's holiness, each other's divinity. Again, the lamp is lit in both of you for one another, and by the hands that gave it to each other shall both of you be led past fear to love. It's quite profound, and it's quite simple. If you're just not too damned obstinate, it still remains simple. Because all that is required is to make a different choice. And now you know what the choice is. And a word to the wise. Don't look at a brother or a sister whom you have grievances against and completely refuse to engage in the holy instant with regard to them. You're not saved from anything by not experiencing the Father's love of you, so that a brother can't be blessed. You will stay in the same hell that your brother is in, and that you have been in, until you make a different choice. The simple choice. The choice that is love, that moves you both past fear. I love you very much. Revel in what I have shared with you. and I will look forward to being with you next time.